teachings of Jesus, that hymn is such an appropriate, God, be my vision. Lord God, show me the way. Help me understand and know who you are and how you want me to live. The two Beatitudes that we're combining today are very similar, again, in relationship to what Jesus is saying. Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for they shall be blessed. They shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others insult you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets before you. And then from Paul's writing, Paul says, when cursed, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we answer kindly. As we come and as we look at these two Beatitudes again together, we need to understand that there are two sides to this teaching in terms of who the teaching is given to. Jesus speaks to those who are persecuted. Jesus also speaks to the persecutor, to the one who is perpetrating this persecution upon others. Just in the last week, Margaret and I have again been confronted with the reality, the truth that within our schools, there is significant bullying or persecution that is being handed out. And it is an issue that, you know, we have seen in relationship to our granddaughter Sterling, with her, you know, inabilities, with the things that she was born with that, you know, make her a little different than most kids. And we've also had an individual talk to us about what is happening with a child that they are aware of who is being bullied and persecuted just because of the way he looks. This is happening today in our world now. Is God's word relevant to us? It certainly is relevant. It's relevant to our lives, to our thinking, not only in relationship to us possibly being persecuted, but possibly to our being perpetrators of persecution on others. As I thought about these attitudes, I was again made aware of the reality that there are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of this world that we are living in now. We are a part of the kingdom of this world. But there's also the kingdom of God, to which we are also a part as we become Christ followers, as we take on the name Christian. We need to understand that we are part of the kingdom of this world and that we live in it. But we are also a part of the kingdom of God and who he is and what he is and the values that God brings that are a part of who we are becoming as those who follow Jesus Christ. Now, in Scripture, there is a person that came to my thinking as I thought about these two worlds and the experience of the two worlds, this kingdom and God's kingdom. The person was Saul, who became Paul. Yeah, you're with me, aren't you? Saul, who was the persecutor of the Christians. He hated the Christians. He detested the Christian belief and faith that Jesus is the Messiah, the one that God has sent into the world to be our Savior and our Lord. And so Saul experienced the full realities of the kingdom of this world, the attitudes of the kingdom of this world, and what that looked like in terms of persecuting Christians. But then as Saul became Paul, he experienced the other side of that reality as well. He experienced the persecution of those of whom he had formerly been a part of, who hated the Christians and the faith and the truths about Jesus Christ in terms of being the Messiah, the Son of God. So one of the questions I think we need to answer is, why is there persecution? Why is there persecution? I think there are two reasons why persecution. The first is fear. Saul was afraid. Saul was afraid that his belief in the Jewish tradition and the Jewish law was going to be corrupted and lost by this message about Jesus Christ, this message of Jesus and his apostles and his followers. So out of fear for what Saul believed was true and held to be his and those other religious leaders, Saul was a persecutor of the Christians. So out of fear. Now, the bully in school, or the bully who's at work, or the bully of the neighborhood, why do they do what they do? Why are they bullies? Why are they persecuting? And, you know, that word persecuting may be appropriate. In ways it is. In ways it's just another way of saying bullying. Why do they do what they do? Well, they do it for the same reason that Saul persecuted the Christians. Because there's a fear that they are going to lose their place of respect, their place of significance, their place of privilege, their place of power in the community that they are a part of. Whether that's at work, and those of you who've worked in the world, in places where there are other people, you've seen that, I'm sure. You've seen certain people who you work beside who are bullies within the context of that work setting. And what they're doing is they are afraid that their place, their position, may be taken by you or someone else. So their position of privilege and power may be taken away. The second thing is power. Why do people persecute? It's an issue of power. Saul, the other religious leaders of the Jews, were afraid they would lose their power. Their power, which in turn would mean they would lose their influence, which in turn would mean that they would lose their material wealth. Fear, power, they're closely tied together. This is part of what motivated Saul in his persecuting the Christians. Throughout history, the Crusades, the Holy Roman Empire, it's all about power and wealth. The need for power so that they could maintain their position. One of the black marks on Christianity, the Catholic Church, the faith, was the Crusades. Thousands of people were killed in the name of God for the position, for the reason that there was power that was wanting to be held for the purpose of control, for the purpose of wealth, for the purpose of position and place. In the schools where there's bullying, it's all about wielding power over another person, controlling another person, another student, another child, putting them in their place. In politics, it's all about power and control. Think about what we've been seeing in the news recently. You know, the Republicans are struggling to come into a place of security and power. So what are they doing? They just moved someone out of a position of leadership and power because they felt like this person was limiting the power of the Republican Party. It's a form of bullying. It's a form of bullying. It's done in politics. We see it throughout politics. We see the campaigns being that in which there's bullying. There's a trying to put down another person, hurt another person, so that I can come to power and come to place of responsibility. In responses to racism, again, it's all about power and control. Those who are in power persecute, put in their place, those who are not in power. The ones who are not in power, the ones who don't feel like they have the respect and the power that they would like, you know, they're shouting this whole message that, you know, why can't there be justice for me, justice for us? Margaret and I, in our time together yesterday, one of the things that we talked about was this whole reality of us as a people. You know, we're all, by God, we're all people who've been created equal. We're all people who've been given the same kind of respect by God, the same kind of opportunity for salvation by God. There are none who are put aside in terms of God's truth and what God wants to do. However, in our society and in our world, there are levels of position and power. Why is that? Well, as Margaret and I talked, one of the things that we wanted to try to understand ourselves, and one of the things I want to try to communicate this morning, is the reality that just because a person lives south of the tracks doesn't make them less of a person. Okay? Just because a person, you know, drives the garbage truck and picks up my garbage doesn't make them less of a person than the mayor or the president or the owner of a business, etc. What happens in our world is we've all been given gifts and abilities. So God gifts and gives us all abilities. He looks at us all in the same way with respect. And God is a just God. We know that. And so he gives us gifts and abilities. What we do with those then makes a difference in terms of the position we find ourselves in our world. Okay? Not everyone has been given the ability to parse out mathematical realities, mathematical truths. But the people who are very good in math, who are they? Well, they typically become the engineers. They become the doctors. They become those people who are in positions where they educate themselves. They've taken the privilege and of the responsibility to educate themselves, and has placed them in positions where we say those people are really important to us, and we're going to pay them more than we paid the trash man. Now, is that just and fair? Well, it is, I think, in many ways. And as Margaret and I talked, that's just and that's fair. And that's how society works. It doesn't mean that one person is less than another person. And God's justice is for all. God's salvation is for all. But there are positions that we come into as a result of the gifts we've been given and the responsibility that we've taken to develop the gifts that God gives us. So there are two things there. How does that relate to power and to what we're talking about? Well, those positions oftentimes put us in places of power. The question is, what do we do with that? How do we deal with that? And God's talking about, Jesus is teaching us about being persecuted and being persecutors. So the cry is that when I don't have the power and control, I'm being persecuted. Now, let's go and let's see what Jesus says about this. So what does Jesus say? First of all, Jesus speaks both to the persecutor and the persecuted. Jesus says, love your enemies. This relates to both, okay? If I'm the one that is perpetrating the persecution, if I'm the one that is looking down on the garbage man and saying bad things about her or him because of the fact that they're doing this menial task that I don't want to do, I'm the persecutor. God says, Dale, love that person. What does it mean to love? Well, it means to care for them, show them respect. It means to make sure they know that they're as important a part of this world as I am. Make sure they know that they're as loved by God as I'm loved by God. So God says, love your enemies. To the persecutor, he says, you should not be persecuting anyone. You need to be loving them. So this message of Jesus goes both ways. Sometimes we think it's only a one-way street. It's not. It's a message to both the persecutor and the persecution that I receive from another person. So love your enemies. The second thing Jesus says is turn the other cheek. So I'm being persecuted because I'm a Christ follower, because I believe that God says it's right for me to treat other people this way, and so I'm going to do that. And so someone looks at me and says, you stupid fool, why are you doing that? You know, they don't deserve that. And so I'm persecuted. So what do? Jesus says, turn the other cheek. Jesus says, let them slap you on the other cheek as well. Jesus says, give up your place of power and position and accept that it's good enough that I love you and you're important in my eyes. So then who does Jesus say will be blessed? Who does Jesus say will be blessed? Those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. How do we know what righteousness is? Well, that which is right in God's eyes is righteousness. That which is just, that which is justice, is righteousness. Defining this can be very broad. And we need to be careful not to stray into personal vendettas and selfish ideas. This is a danger point, okay? This is a danger point. Jesus says, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, how do we define what righteousness is? We must come to the gospel. We must come to Jesus' teaching to discover what God says about what is right and what is just. And we need to make certain we stay focused on what Jesus is saying and not allow ourselves to fall into a selfish kind of ambition or desire that really leaves God out and lifts me into this position of importance and power above God. So that's the first thing. Jesus says, for righteousness' sake, for what is right, when you're persecuted for that, you're going to be blessed. The second thing he says then, those who are persecuted because we love and follow Jesus and speak the truth. This is easier for us to get hold of, isn't it? There's more of a defining line there. When we say, when someone says, you know, you're stupid for being a Christian, you're stupid for following Jesus, you know, we know that we're being persecuted in a way that Jesus says, you know, because you're persecuted that way, you're going to be blessed. You're going to find something special come to you. Now, as we embark on this study, on these messages from the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes from Jesus' teaching, it becomes so important for us to learn, to see, to understand just who Jesus is and what he's teaching us, so that as we come to our following after Jesus, we're truly following after Jesus and not after something else. We want to be able to lean into the truth of Jesus, lean into the gospel message, lean into what Jesus teaches us in his word. So that's what Jesus says. Persecuted for righteousness' sake, persecuted because you believe in me. So what does Paul say? 1 Corinthians 4:12, which we already quoted. When cursed, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we answer kindly. This is not the attitude of this world. This is not the attitude of this kingdom. This kingdom that we're in doesn't do that, doesn't say that. This is not the response of fear and power. The response of fear and power is to slap the other cheek. The response of fear and power is to be a persecutor because we're afraid of losing our place. Paul is proclaiming the message of Jesus when he says this. Paul is saying in a different way, in another way, love your enemies, turn the other cheek. Where once Saul bullied and persecuted Christians, now Paul is a Christ follower who's turning the other cheek. Paul is a Christ follower who's giving his life for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of this world retaliates and strikes back out of fear, wanting to maintain our position of power, our positions of wealth in this world. Those who are following Jesus and are part of the kingdom of God turn the other cheek and bless those who bully and persecute us and treat us unjustly. This is the message of Jesus. For those who follow Jesus, there's no fear. What do you have to fear? What position? What place of power? What place of control? What place of wealth do we have to fear? We don't have to fear that. God is the one who cares for us. He sees us. He gives us all that we need. Jesus demonstrated God's attitude in relationship to these things by being a servant to all people. See, Jesus was persecuted and wrongly accused and went to the cross, and his statement was, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus' message to us is that we're blessed when we're persecuted. Jesus' message is to us, don't be a persecutor. Love your neighbor. Jesus' message to us is turn the other cheek. Jesus' message to us is exactly the life that he lived. You may accuse me sometimes of not living up to what I preach and tell you, and you may very well be right. But Jesus never did that. We could never accuse Jesus of that, because what Jesus taught, Jesus lived, and Jesus did. And we want to lean into that. We want to learn from that. Although there's nothing recorded about how Paul died, Christian tradition says that Paul was martyred, very possibly beheaded, and very possibly close to the same time that Peter was martyred, was killed for his faith. These men of God turned the other cheek. Rather than seek power, they served us. They lived as servants of the gospel. So how should we follow Jesus today? How should we think about persecution? And I offer four questions that I think can help us in terms of that. First, the first question is this. Is this that I'm experiencing really persecution? So in other words, when we feel like we're being persecuted, we should ask ourselves the question, what is this that I'm experiencing? Is this really persecution, or is this something else that's happening to me? That's the first question. The second is this. Am I standing for God's righteousness or for something that's purely selfish? Okay, I'm going to say that again. Ask yourself this question. Am I standing for God's righteousness? Okay? We've got to say it that way. God's righteousness. For what God says is righteous. Am I standing for that? Or for something that's purely selfish? And sometimes this is hard to distinguish. Sometimes it takes others around us who love us and care for us as brothers and sisters in Christ to identify some of those things that we do that are purely selfish. A third question then. How am I responding to the thought that I'm being persecuted? Again, how am I responding to the thought that I am being persecuted? So, I would say to those who are feeling like they're being persecuted because of racism, what would be a godly response? What would God say to those people, whether they're the Jews, whether they're the Hispanics, whether they're the blacks, whether they're the Asians, whether it's those who are poor? How am I responding? How am I responding to this thought that I'm being persecuted? And then a fourth. Is my response to my persecution the response that Jesus and Paul would say is righteous in God's sight? Is my response to my perceived persecution the response that Jesus and Paul would say is righteous in God's sight? I want to read from another of Jesus' passages, Jesus' teaching, from Luke. Luke chapter 12, verses 4 to 12. Jesus is speaking now. He says, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should be afraid of. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has the authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about what you're going to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. These days we're hearing a lot about people who are feeling persecuted. We here in this church building this morning, may none of us feel that in any way. We may not be experiencing that in any way. But there's lots of that in our world. There's lots of that here in Abilene. As Christ followers, as Christians, we need to look at what God says to us. If you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, God bless you. If you're persecuted because you're proclaiming that you are mine, you are a child of God, and you're following my truth, my word, and are persecuted, you're going to be blessed by God. With what attitude are you living in relationship to this? God forbid that any of us would be persecutors, abusers, bullying others for any reason at all. And may God help us look carefully at the reality of who we are. You're blessed if you're persecuted. Don't fear it. You have nothing to fear. Jesus stated it. Don't fear anyone who can kill you in body, because all they can do is kill you in body. That's it. But fear the one who can throw you into the hell of fire. We're going to close today with a hymn that should bring us encouragement. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Stand and let's sing this hymn together.